Hello, and welcome to the inaugural edition of Teacher Tech Talk. I'll be your host, Tom Varnum. I'm the Digital Learning Specialist at the Tyngsborough Public Schools. And we want this to be a different kind of ed tech podcast. I'm going to try every week to, you know, give you a couple of practical tips maybe, but also I want to talk to the educators who are in the classroom and even some students and ask them how educational technology is changing the way they look at teaching or learning. Well, seeing as this is the inaugural episode of TPS Tech, I suppose I should introduce myself and tell you a little bit about my experiences. This is my second year as the Digital Learning Specialist for the Tyngsborough Public School District. Prior to that, for the previous 24 years, I was a high school English teacher. And as a high school English teacher, I was always a person who would try out new technology things before most anybody else in my district. I was kind of the go-to guy when people had sort of tech issues, other than our excellent technology specialist who deals mostly with the hardware aspect of things. I deal mostly with the software end of it. So a couple of years ago, the superintendent came to me and asked me if I wanted to try this position, and I said, I think that's a good idea. As an English teacher, I was always, as I said, always a person who used the technology kind of before most anybody else. And one of the first things I tried was Google Docs. I was teaching a journalism class, and when I found out that there was a online word processing program where students could collaborate on their writing, I thought that was perfect for a journalism class. I actually had a friend who worked at the local IRS office, and they were trying to get rid of some old laptops, and they donated them to my classroom, so each kid had a laptop to use, and this was probably back in, I don't know, the mid-2000s. And so we were able to have a little computer lab, and we used Google Docs for our journalism program. Another one of the things that I tried early on was Poll Everywhere, which allows students to use their phones or a computer to respond to questions that have been posted that I would project on the screen in the classroom. And I thought this was a really good idea because the responses were anonymous, and students wouldn't be afraid to ask questions they might have thought were dumb. So they were able to ask whatever question they wanted, and we could answer them without any embarrassment for saying, that was kind of a silly question. And I would use that if I had assigned some sort of reading before the night before. Maybe we would come in and we'd start the class off, and I'd throw that up there on Poll Everywhere and ask the question, what questions do you have about the reading last night? And then the kids would text in their answers, and we'd start a discussion from there. So the first question I usually get is, what exactly is a digital learning specialist? The best way I can describe my position is that I help teachers use technology to improve their instruction, their curriculum, and the overall classroom experience. So I've gone from teaching students to teaching teachers. It's been quite an interesting transition. I've gotten into a lot of classrooms over the last couple of years, and I'm fully convinced that if I were to return to the classroom today to be a classroom teacher again, I would be a much better teacher for what I've just observing other teachers in their natural habitats. One one of our regular features on the podcast will be an interview with another educator to find out how technology is being used in their classroom. The honor of being the first ever guest on my podcast goes to my longtime sidekick in the English department and on the tennis courts, Mr. James Robson. Thank you for being the guinea pig on my first episode, James. Tell us a little bit about your teaching experience.
I've been an English teacher for 15 years. Worked next to Tom Varnum all that time. And I'm still the rookie of the department, amazingly enough. Right now I'm teaching modern contemporary literature to juniors and seniors and sophomore American literature and freshman world literature.
All right. Tell me, how has technology changed the way you approach teaching?
Well, as of maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was a relative Luddite when it came to using technology in the classroom.
Remember that well.
I was still using pens and paper and insisting that students print out their papers and hand them in so I could write comments in the margin. And then it probably changed. I don't really know when it changed, but or how it changed. Maybe with the advent of Google Docs being much easier to use, perhaps. It just became so clear that technology used correctly could make classroom management so much easier. And now I've sort of fully embraced it and used technology for almost everything.
I can confirm the fact that he was indeed a Luddite until a few years ago. And he's now one of the most frequent users of the educational technology. So you mentioned Google Docs. Other than Google Docs, what would you call like your go-to app that you use most in your classroom?
I would say to all teachers out there, if you're not using Google Classroom, then you're doing yourself a huge disservice. It's the most amazing feature in the entire world. You can put all your documents there. The kids get copies. You can set them to get individual copies. You can set things to appear at certain times or to be assigned at certain times. They can be graded or ungraded. You can give feedback and return documents completely digitally. It's amazing. Saves so much time, so much paperwork. You can even create common comments and just like put them in a click of a button. So like, you know, for example, more interesting introduction, click, click, just drop it in or something. Programs outside of Google Classroom, I'm always looking for, like, right now I'm playing around with something called Capwing, which is a video creator, meme creator, GIF creator, video montage thing, and something called Ear Sketch, which allows you to create sort of audio tracks but through coding. So it gives you like the code and you have to type in the coding thing and then that produces the sound. And so you can put together these they're songs. I mean, I'm terrible at it, but I'm getting better and better.
That sounds pretty cool. I had not heard of those two, either of those two. Kind of takes my next question. I was going to ask you, you know, what are you looking at to, you know, what new apps are you looking at? So we kind of took care of that one. Let's focus on the students. How do you see the students maybe changing the way they approach their education based on the new technology that we're able to offer them?
Yeah, we are 100% digital at this point as a society. You just see it in the way that people interact with each other and the way they even walk around. I mean, everyone's got their heads in their phones, and we can bemoan that and we can say, oh, it was much better 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, when people looked you in the eye and shook your hand when you bought a car instead of buying a car on cars.com and never meeting the salesperson. But that's just not reality. And let's take advantage of the fact that our students are digital citizen natives and can work in that space so effectively, so easily. In modern contemporary literature, I'm constantly pushing the students to say, how are you going to make this work matter beyond just this classroom? If you're doing research into the dangers of plastic, for instance, then why not get on Snapchat or Instagram or Twitter and start building a campaign in which you can actually affect change within your community? girl recently got rid of plastic bags in Tingsboro. Students, I think, more than ever, can become part of the community and part of changing the world through digital technology, through technology that they couldn't do before because they didn't have that kind of reach. But now a 16-year-old can reach billions of people through YouTube. So work doesn't have to simply be anymore, answer these 10 questions on The Great Gatsby. It can be something like, okay, now you've read The Great Gatsby. So what? What are you going to do now? Are you going to challenge our consumer culture? Are you going to celebrate capitalism? What does this lead to? Are you going to become a better friend or worse friend? I don't know, but technology allows all of that to be possible in ways that it can't before, and I think we need to jump on that and embrace it and give it to our students and almost insist they use it. Otherwise, they're going to fall further and further behind.
All right. One of the things that I have noticed, especially in this trimester, in looking at your classes, is you've used the technology, or you encourage students to use technology to give them different ways to demonstrate their learning. And I think that's a key that educators kind of need to grasp onto, is that we need to move from perhaps an educational system where we determine how the students, we as the teachers determine how the students demonstrate their learning, and put more onus and put more ownership on the students and say, hey, listen, you need to show me what you've learned, or you need to demonstrate this particular standard, or however you're going to grade your assignments, and you need to choose it. Can you just give me a couple examples of some of the things that students have done in your class that have been used technology to demonstrate their learning?
Yeah, so in modern contemporary literature, students are basically choosing the standards they want to work with. A lot of them gravitate to one of the speaking listening standards, which is the strategic use of digital media to enhance your audience's understanding of something. So, just off the top of my head, two girls recently did a what it's like to be a day, sort of a day in the life of a high school girl, geared toward middle school girls, and they made like a 10-minute video. And I watched it, I almost cried. It was just so authentic and so perfect for that audience. You know, basically just encouraging these middle school girls to be like, yeah, high school can be difficult, but it's also a wonderful time. You're with your friends, and here's ways to get through it, and here's what you should do if you have, rely on your family and friends, and just trust who you are and be happy with who you are. It was really cool to see that. Another student used Ear Sketch to create background beats for a rap he was writing about. He was going to give a speech for his football team, and he decided he was going to do it in a rap style, so he created his own rap. He didn't go all the way with it. He sort of got about halfway through and decided he didn't want to do that, but it was cool to see him try. Lots of the kids initially want to use things like Google Slides and Prezi because they're comfortable with that. They're used to it. And I'm always saying, well, why don't you try, like, push yourself. Like, we know you can use Google Slides. We know you can create a Google Slides or a Prezi. Try to find something else. Find a different medium that you're not so comfortable with and try demonstrating that way, because that really shows your mastery of the skill, that you can do it with a medium you're not super comfortable with. Yeah.
Well, whoever comes next as my next guest has big shoes to fill. Thank you very much for your insight today, and we will hopefully have you back at some point in the future. Well, that's all for our first episode of Teacher Tech Talk. I hope you found something useful for your classroom. I'd like to thank our guest today, James Robson, for his insights and his big personality. Please check out the show notes for the links to some of the websites and apps mentioned. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, and I'll check in with you on the next episode. Remember, never be afraid to try something different.